Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Root Insurance is all about you and how you drive. In fact, that's the number one factor we use to give you a better price, which puts you in control. Just download the Root app, hit the road, and we'll take care of the rest. The app measures your driving behavior and gives you a custom rate based primarily on your driving. The better you drive, the better your rate. It's car insurance made for you. Visit joinroot.com today to get started. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
This episode of Fucksgiven is brought to you in association with our favourite intimate brand, Lalo.
We actually do love Lalo. They have been giving us great toys since the beginning. I think Lalo was my first love for luxury toys.
They were so good. I've got so many at home in my drawers and I use them all the time.
Yeah, all the time. It's like if I want to insert something, I go for Lalo.
Definitely. It's really important, isn't it, to have good quality sex toys because you need to be aware of the materials that you're putting down on your genitals.
Yeah, I was always buying the cheap ones. And as soon as I got my first Lalo, I was like, whoa, this has changed everything. Why haven't I been doing this from the beginning?
Yeah, we need to look after our genitals.
Absolutely.
And we also have a discount code for you guys, 20% off Lalo products.
For all you juicy listeners, just type in COMECURIOUS20, all uppercase with no spaces.
For more information and to explore your own sexual desire, visit Lalo.com. Thank you, Lalo.
Thanks, Lalo. I'll be seeing you tonight.
You're listening to Fucksgiven, the one where we interview Carolina from Blogger on a Pole.
Welcome to Fucksgiven. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and we are on a mission to revolutionise the sex space, break down barriers, and give the lowdown on all things sexy.
Every week, we will welcome a special guest to share with us their juicy details about their best fucks, worst fucks, or even the fucks that changed them.
And we'll also hear your guys' sex questions and your worst sex stories.
We're all about celebrating your sex. We're removing the stigma around the whole number bullshit.
No matter how many people you've slept with, the number never matters because the fucks given are the fucks that made us.
Thanks for having me. Woo! I'm like a friend's episode now.
Yes. It's literally so excited to have you on today. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself in better words?
Right, so I'm kind of like a poor Batman in the sense that I've got many different lives at the same time. I don't have Bruce Wayne's salary and I have more secret identities. So at the moment, I'm a criminology PhD student, a visiting lecturer, but I've also got my blog, which is Blogger on Pole, and I'm a pole dance performer and I'm a writer. So all of these things together proceed to make my brain explode on a daily basis.
Literally, wow. You are a superwoman. You do so many things. That's incredible.
How did you get into pole dancing?
So I moved to Australia for about a year and a half to do a master's in criminology. And I had all of these ideas about my life in Australia where, I don't know, like I would set up a small business and sell panini on Bondi Beach and be super successful and everybody would love me. It wasn't like that. It was hard to make friends because my course was mainly made of older professionals and I didn't know anybody. So I think there was an ad near my uni campus about a pole dance studio that had a free trial class. And I was like, okay, I'll go. Because I used to do artistic gymnastics as a child.
Oh, wow.
Not like professionally. It was just one of those things that I did twice a week.
And twice a week is not professionally, surely. What?
No, because I mean, like...
That's hardcore.
It was fun, but like it was a hobby for me as a child. Uh-huh. But I missed being upside down because I really like doing handstands and the danger and everything. And I was feeling quite lonely and I wasn't feeling very self-confident because I moved to Australia because I wanted to run away from London because I was dating someone that was really bad for me. And I was like, okay, I'll just go.
Yeah. Did it work?
It kind of did. Because as soon as I started pole dancing, I became a lot more self-confident, had a lot of new friends and kind of started loving my body again, which was great.
Amazing.
So I never looked back and it was a great community to kind of fall into. And and now it's really a huge part of my life. Like I compete, I perform.
Oh, amazing.
It's really cool.
We need to come and see you.
You should.
Yes. Yeah,
so where do you do your performances? So, and how regularly?
So I've got two upcoming ones. There are a couple of showcases where people just perform. So I've just had one actually for Women's Day and it's called Filthy Friday. You should follow them on Instagram because they're amazing. They're about embracing pole dancers of all backgrounds, of all genders and gender identities and all shapes and sizes.
Amazing.
So you get different styles of performances over there.
That sounds like a ray of sunshine.
It's really nice and it's super chill as well. There's no pressure on the performers or on the people, but then I'm also competing. So there's one competition at the Bethnal Green Working Men's Club on the 11th of May, and that's called Floor Play. So that's where there are no poles, but you can do like anything on the floor. So I tend to like twerk or do something.
Amazing.
So that's on the 11th of May, and then on the 1st of June there's another one that's called Exotic Generation, and it's on it's in Notting Hill in a theater, and that's gonna have poles. It's quite big, so I'm really excited that I got in. But
congrats.
So good.
Oh, yeah. But I've seen videos of Reed pole dancing herself.
In Jamaica.
My cheeks are going red and my face cheeks as
You were
well.
Really good.
Maybe you should teach Reed how to do it properly.
I would love to do a one-on-one.
That would be really fun. Yeah, that would be amazing because you were really good. And I think what you had in that video is what many people that pole dance for years don't have. And it's
confidence.
The attitude and the confidence.
Attitude.
Because I think like you could be the best performer, but if it looks like you're not enjoying yourself and you're, I don't know, fearing for your life on that stage, you don't convey anything to the audience. And you were like, yeah. I love
well,
this.
I'd never touched a pole ever. And I was like, fuck it, let's give this a go. Why not face your fears? Because that's what life should be about, is being terrified of something and then facing it head on. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the rush and the exhilaration you get. I mean, I nearly shat myself afterwards, but it was like so worth it. And I didn't know how to do any pole moves. Most I did was like grind on the pole a bit. But I think
that's
part of it. Yeah. And I think like, you know what? I mean, so many people don't start pole dancing because they're like, oh, I'm not sexy, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. And, you know, no one feels sexy when they start because it's massively awkward to just like, I don't know, grind on this thing in your bikini.
Yeah.
But that's part of the fun. And I think it's just challenging that idea that women can't be sexual, or that, you know, you can't use your body in a certain way, or that if you decide to be sexual, you should be sexual in, you know, that one way that, I don't know, porn tells you to follow.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's quite nice that everybody, it's an accepting community where everybody just decides to do it their own way.
Yeah.
Fuck number one.
The last fuck.
It was a while back. It was in December. That's because I'm not in a relationship at the moment, and I'm not actively dating because I'm quite busy, but also I just haven't met anyone interesting. And I think
don't force it. We've like, all been there.
Before, that's what I would do. I was kind of like, I haven't had sex in a while, should be having sex now. And now I'm kind of like, nah, it's, I don't want to have sex with anyone. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to have sex with someone that feels right.
Yeah. And I was, sex is always better when you have that connection with someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a connection of, you know, we're going to get married and have kids. It can be a connection of, I like you tonight.
Yeah.
This can happen.
Yeah.
And I think I haven't felt that in a while and I haven't wanted to force it. Mm-hmm. But I was on holiday visiting a friend in Portugal and and one of his friends was interested and it happened and it was nice and it felt safe, which I think is also a big part for
That's
me.
That's perfect. That's what you want when you fuck. You don't want to have like, yeah, feeling safe is pretty much perfect.
Yeah, you don't want to feel, oh, you know, are they going to kill me now? Or like, are they going to steal my wallet or something like that? Because I think part of the reason why I'm not as sexually active as I was before is because I've been in an abusive relationship. And, you know, this guy sometimes was quite intense. Like sometimes I would have to have sex not to make him angry, which is not ideal.
And that's then
there awful. Were, yeah. And then there were some like non-consensual episodes as well. So I was kind of like, I think now I'm quite attuned to my feelings and thinking like, do I actually want to have sex tonight? No, then I won't have it. So I'm not actively looking for it. But with this guy, it was perfect. It was safe. We had a good banter. It was fun. Yeah. It was actually really sweet. Like we spooned at the end. So that was really cute.
That's always nice on like a one night stand because sometimes you just don't get that.
Yeah, you don't. It's kind of like, right, I've come, bye. Yeah, I've done my job. It wasn't like that. It was really nice. So I think, you know, I'm not a one night stand person, but if one night stands are like that, I'll take them.
Nice one.
Fuck two. The first fuck.
I've actually outreached to the person in question before going on this podcast because we're still really good friends.
That's really admirable of you. Thank you for doing that.
I was kind of like, you know what? I'm part of a very sex positive community, but I appreciate that not everybody might be like that. So I can't reveal everything to the tiniest detail, but I can say, you know, I was 16. He was my first proper boyfriend. We were in the same friends group and it was just lovely. Like we'd been doing stuff before because we were 16 and very horny and very attracted to each other. Like we'd gone like down on each other before, but I think we were only dating for like 3 months when it actually happened, and it was amazing. It was sweet. Nobody felt pressured. It just felt natural, like a natural progression of what we were doing.
Did you discuss like beforehand like, okay, like I'm ready, you want to have sex?
No, it was so weird because like we'd been messing around for like so long, and then I think I initiated it at the time because like I was quite, I've always been quite bossy. So I was kind of like, I kind of know that you want to do it. Do you want to do it? And he was like, but are you sure about it? I was like, let's do it. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then after that, us being Italian, we had so much food. It was amazing. Like, I think my mom, actually, my mom was downstairs when this happened, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she, like, she loved him and she still does. Like, he's a lovely person. And she, every time he would come, like, to visit, she would just buy sweets. So, like, we ate all the sweets after sex. It was amazing.
That sounds so good as well.
Because your mom's just providing all the after sex.
Yeah, it was great.
And a lot of the time, you end up going on a date and then you eat loads. And then when it comes to sex, you're just like, oh, God, I feel so full. Why have we done this? Doing it the other way around is smart.
It is, because then you burn, well, you don't burn the calories, but I think we might have had sex after the sweets anyway. You know, like just kind
double
of
dip.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't, you know, don't plan anything. I'm all about, I say that I'm not a planner. I am a planner, but I try for like emotional stuff just to feel it.
But we as women are, I've found this throughout life, that we plan sex. You know, we're like, okay, tonight I'm going to have sex. We shave ourselves. We mentally prepare ourselves. Men don't do that because they don't actually get the opportunity to. They just take it when it comes.
Yeah.
And they're grateful for it. Well, most of the time. But like most women, I mean, if you fuck a girl that's spontaneous and hasn't shaved and hasn't done all the preliminary stuff, you got to be proud about that. That you've just taken her out of her mindset of like, no, you're not going to have sex tonight, to fuck, I'm going to have sex.
You know what? That's so true. I haven't thought about it. But then, you know, our whole planning thing leads to so much disappointment.
You've
planned everything in your head. You've planned, I don't know, like the birds singing and the soundtrack, and then it doesn't happen, or when it happens, it's shit. And then, you know, what have you planned for? Like, why have you shaved your legs for this douchebag?
I've never really thought about this before. Like, what? There's always been so much disappointment because you always, you put so much effort in and then suddenly you're just like, why did I do that?
You're nice, like, what's that underwear? There's pros and cons to planning. Like, unfortunately, it's just feminine nature. We plan everything. We plan fucking marriage and organized. Kids and our life before everything. This is generalization, but sex. Yeah. And then, when it goes
massive
wrong
stereotype.
Yeah. Massive stereotype,
yeah, but like the way women are meant to enjoy sex is not like a woman going out having sex. It's a woman having sex in a like loving and relationship scenario, because otherwise she's enjoying sex a little too much, and therefore like the perfection comes into that. Like, she needs to present herself in a certain way because it has a certain aim, and even if you don't have that aim, but that presentation is kind of socialized into you, like, you've been brainwashed to look a certain way, pretty much.
Like films, movies, it's always like shave first and put in a lipstick and wearing a nice outfit.
And also, because of all that stuff as well, like your partners in the relationship are expecting that all the time.
When they look up at you, they're like, oh, you look nice. And they're probably thinking, are you going to have sex tonight?
Because like they think that's the norm. And I think as soon as you reverse that power structure, it's really weird for them. Like, since I got into pole dancing, I started, you know, learning how to do a lap dance and stuff like that. But I think it's weird for guys, for certain guys, to get lap dances, because they're not in charge. Like, they're used to being in charge, and they're like, why am I not in charge? Yeah. And then when you give them a lap dance, they're like, oh shit, now I'm supposed to do something in return. Yeah. And they freeze on you.
They don't know what to do.
And and it's really weird for them. So I actually make a point in my life of just challenging every kind of structure and stereotype that you could find, and just making people uncomfortable because it's fun.
Fuck 3.
The best fuck.
Right, so I've got two best fucks, so I'll just like blend them into.
Yeah. Amazing.
Or like in my kind of short summary. So the very first one was when I was in the US. So after the
sexy American.
So after my abusive relationship, I was kind of like, you know what, fuck all of this, I'm just gonna like travel and like be wild and free. So I went couch surfing by myself for 2 months, and I ended up in New Orleans, which is an amazing
my
city.
Favorite place in the whole wide world.
I can hear Florence's vagina widen right now.
It's squirming.
It's so hot. And so I was like sitting at a bar by myself with my beer. It's like a movie. And I was like, they're not looking that great because I was traveling by myself. And this guy just starts talking to me. And it turns out we have a bunch of music taste stuff in common. We talk for an hour. And then it was like, oh yeah, I'm just here. I'm a sound engineer for a band. But he didn't mention which band. Didn't want to show off about it. And then after an hour, I asked him about it. Mm-hmm. And it was one of my favorite rock
bands. Stop it.
And it was amazing. Like, it was a 90s band. I've got really like weird and old-fashioned music taste, but I knew them.
You have to say who they are now.
Yeah, they're called the Afghan Wigs. You probably don't know them, but I love them.
Jack up producer's nodding his head.
Yes. So he was the sound engineer. I was like, oh my god, this is so cool, amazing. So we went out and whatever, and then he took me back to the band's hotel because they own a hotel in New Orleans, and we had sex there. And it was all like silk and we smoked weed, and so I was like super tingly, and he went down on me, and it was perfect. And he basically just did me for the whole night, and it was perfect.
Oh my god, what was he like?
He was like,
I'm just trying to imagine myself like, in the situation,
skipping past all the juicy details for us. It's not like you.
he was a bit short. He had a beard. I kind of forgot his face because I was so drunk. But it was a great experience because he was very sweet and not, you know, not one of those people that just like want to fuck you so bad that it creeps you out. It was just like super chill, and it felt like talking to a friend who suddenly got really sexy.
Oh, shit.
It was really cool. And like like
that.
When we went home, he started putting some jazz on. Oh. And obviously, you know, New Orleans, after we'd done a tour of all the bars, it was just perfect. It was so much fun.
Sounds magical.
And then the second time was last year, someone that I used to go to uni with but never really hung out with. And then, you know, what happens when you become a pole dancer is that so many people that forgot about you suddenly remember you because they see your ass on Instagram.
Yeah, 100%. They're like, oh, yeah, we talked once. Like, hey, how are you doing?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Like, I met you at Tesco that day. It's exactly like that. So, yeah, he woke up and we started messaging for a while and we just agreed to have sex. Like, nice. He just came to my house. We had sex 9 times in the night.
In what? One day?
Well, like, kind of. I think he came at, like, 4 p.m. Uh-huh. And then this is until the morning after. So, like, with food breaks and stuff like that in between.
But still, like, how was your vagina? Yeah, wasn't it like, swollen and sore?
It was dead.
He was probably swollen and sore.
Yeah, he also had quite a big dick, so it was quite painful.
Wow. Did you use lube?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank God.
Good.
But he was also very good at like going down on me and stuff like that. So it wasn't always like, you know, it wasn't 9 times penetration. It was like 9, I think like 7 times penetration and other times other stuff. But it was great because he was considerate. He was fun. He was smart. It was like this contracted time of having sex and then we never heard from each other again.
Interesting. Aww. But that was like one of your best fucks.
Yeah, it was. Because again, like he was respectful, but he like it was kind of intense and like very passionate, but not in a creepy way.
That's so random to have that connection with someone when you haven't spoken to them yet.
Yeah, it is. I feel very lucky, but then again, I've been so unlucky with other terrible times, so I'll take what I can get.
Fuck number 4.
The worst fuck.
So, right, there has been one episode of non-consensual sex with my ex-boyfriend, the abusive one, and I'd rather, like, not go too much into it because that's not fun, I think, for people to hear. But it's essentially, like, I didn't want to take part in it and I had to do it. And I don't even consider that as sex because what's the point? Like, I'm not engaging with this. But there have been times where, like, it's just instances of men being selfish and not listening to you, pretty much.
Yep.
Which happens a lot. So there was this guy. When I was at uni in my spell of dating really like old-ish men, I was like 21 and this guy was like 15 years older, so it like there was a huge age difference, and I think he was like kind of trying to impress me really hard, but it just didn't work.
Oh, no.
Because I think the first time we were messing around, he took my t-shirt off and he was like, oh my God, you're gorgeous, but not like in a compliment type way, in a scared way. She's gonna like kill me way.
Oh my God.
And he was like, right, my friend's here, I've gotta go, and he just left.
What?
And then it was so weird. Really, I was bizarre. Like, we're not teenagers, what's happening?
Unless, I mean, maybe he jizzed himself.
I don't know. Oh,
and
that
had
could...
to leave.
Oh, I haven't thought of that. That could
is
be.
Is it possible?
It could be.
Unless he went, fuck, you're too young and I can't do this and I need to go.
No, I don't think so. No, because then we kept dating and we kept hanging out.
Oh, okay.
Up until then we had sex.
Or maybe he didn't feel worthy.
I think
I'm trying to figure this out.
It felt like that. It was really weird. And then when we started having sex, he went down on me. He did me. Everything was great. It was fun.
Yeah. Amazing.
And then penis didn't work scenario, which is fine because I'm bisexual, so like penetration for me is not like the be all end and all of sex. It could be without, but because he was very upset about it,
it just
became a huge deal.
Yeah.
And then
it snowballs and gets worse. And
yeah,
because
you keep trying and it doesn't happen and it's embarrassing. And then I was like, you know what, like it's not a big deal, it's 3 a.m let's just go to bed. And then I wake up with him trying to like jam his penis inside me just to show me that it works. And I was like,
I promise you it works.
I was like, bitch, please, I'm sleeping, I'm not in the mood.
Yeah.
And after that I couldn't sleep, so I just waited until 6 and like I just left and never talked to him again because it was just really, or rather I tried to talk to him to break up with him, but he just ghosted me for a month and then texted me that he wasn't that into me anyway.
Okay.
Oh, of course.
Jesus Christ.
Oh. And then the other worst time was when I was dating another old guy,
so childish.
And he'd watched way too much like male-directed porn.
Yeah.
So he talked in that way that I was like, I just need to give something to you.
Oh, no.
Stop it.
And I was like, no.
Like, what? Give you bread and wine? Like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, it was really weird. Oh, so, like, basically, the whole thing was about his penis, and he was always very selfish, and he would never do anything to me.
Sake.
So after doing it twice, I was kind of like...
Yeah, I mean, we can't blame him. He's clearly he just has no clue.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. He thinks that is what
he
sex
might
is
just
like.
Be selfish.
I mean, he could just be selfish.
Yeah,
he could be right. But like, most people are just immature in the way that they think about sex because they haven't learned or haven't wanted to learn.
And also, if you've just like learned everything about sex from porn,
yeah,
then probably think it's normal.
Yeah, thinks it's normal. That's what you want. You want to worship my giant cock.
No, it's just so sad. And actually, an article has come out on Vice Italy recently where this man wrote an article being like, guys, I'm sorry to break it to you, but your dick isn't everything. Like, women work differently. And I think, yeah, there's been, especially in older men, I think, there's not, like, you can't find this will to re-educate yourself to the new woman that actually knows what, you know, needs to get into her vagina, which
That's
is not always
so
your dick and, you know, just that.
It's hard. Because also... porn back then, you know, through the 90s, if you're of that age where like porn came out and you're obsessed with it, then that is what you think sex should be like and everybody wants.
Yeah.
It's maybe before then, maybe people of an older age have the appreciation of a different way, like looking at porn in magazines and the imagining and really worshipping a woman and her breasts and her boobs, I mean, and her vagina. I mean, her pussy. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Breast, boobs, and...
Breast,
tits
boobs,
so
and vagina. Sorry, her tits and ass.
Yeah.
Then, it just totally depends on how people learn.
I wanted to go back to talking about guys losing wood because, like, that is a completely normal thing to happen. And I think
the reason
that guys get so caught up in their head is that they don't think that it is normal.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, I have to be able to get hard and fuck this woman.
It's
just like, it's totally normal. It's happened to so many people.
It's as normal as premature ejaculation. It's also as normal as women not being able to come.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we're so used to that. Oh, you know, it's quite hard for women to... not be able to come, but for men to not achieve wood, like it's happened to me so many times, and I wish that I had known how to handle it back then, because I did the stupid thing and I didn't make it into a big deal. I was like, oh, it's okay, but I didn't make it okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't make it like, oh, okay, we can do other stuff.
Well.
Yeah,
you're
because...
Like, I want to have sex. Why can you not get hard?
Especially because loads of women think it's their fault.
Yeah.
They're not getting hard because of them. And that's nothing to do with the bloke. It's literally like to do with their self-esteem.
Yeah.
And the first thing that they think of is, I'm hideous.
Yeah,
they're
I'm not
attracted
I'm not
to
hot
me.
Enough.
And it could probably be the other way around, where they're so attracted to you that they're actually nervous.
Yeah, it's like performance anxiety. And I think condoms have a big role to play in this, because I used to do PR for Durex, and I was all about, you know, like debunking the myths about condoms.
Yeah.
And the issue is that so many guys think that, you know, the condom is gonna like make them lose wood. And it's not about that. Like, actually, it's your problem if you're like, you know, if it's not happening, because it's just that when you're putting on a condom, it kind of breaks up the moment where you're like,
you
really
get into your head like a little bit, and
when you're like really
taught, we have been taught that, oh, you have to put on the condom and everything has to stop. And honestly, if you are both attracted to each other, that shouldn't play a part. The condom should be almost an exciting part of sex.
Exactly.
Like, whoa, we're going to have sex now. But I have heard so many people say that they lose wood when it comes to a condom.
So many.
Yeah.
Because they lose the moment of like really like big attraction, but also they're kind of, they know that this is happening, and therefore like they just get up in their own head.
Yeah.
And I think what I tend to do is kind of like, first of all, just say, if you can't, if it doesn't work out, it's fine. I'm not that into penises anyway. I always make it about that. And it actually works with guys, because guys are like, oh, okay, you know, if I don't get hard, she's not going to kill me, or like she's not going to think I'm a loser.
Yeah.
And actually after that, they get hard. So it works.
Oh, that's amazing.
Or, you know, if they put on a condom and then, you know, they need to kind of be looked after a bit more, I'm happy to do that. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, you can't always be like, high, like hard and, yeah. you know, ready all the time.
It's the same yeah. with us. Like, just we're not wet all the time. Yeah. A lot of the time we can be, but sometimes mm-hmm. we can dry up. That's just
yeah,
what it is.
So many times.
Yeah. You're just like, oh, pass the loop, please.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
friction.
And it's just the pressure of, like, you know, again, porn. Like, these guys are always hard. These guys are always exactly. perfect. And, you know, it's not how it yeah. works.
And people never talk about the bad times. Yeah. Times when...
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
They couldn't get hard, the times when it didn't work out the right way. People are only ever talking about, like, oh, those really great times.
Yeah, because that's not the purpose of, like, for some people, the purpose of talking about sex is to, I don't know, show off. Mm. And the purpose of watching porn is to be aroused. Mm. So, of course, you're not going to make a porn film where people don't come or where people don't get hard.
Yeah.
But you have yeah. to distance yourself from what is porn and fiction and reality, pretty much.
Yeah.
Root Insurance puts you in control. Root is a new type of car insurance that uses the sensors in your smartphone to look deeper than other insurers. Here's how it works. Download the Root app, hit the road, and we'll take care of the rest. The app measures your driving behavior, like turning and braking, and gives you a custom rate based primarily on your driving. The better you drive, the better your rate, meaning good drivers could save hundreds. Visit joinroot.com today to get started. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
Fuck number five.
The fuck that made me.
I would say probably the first time I slept with a woman.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Because, you know, like when you sleep with guys, especially like in the pre-Me Too era and in the pre-women that were sex positive era, it was always like, right, the guy, as we just said, you know, the guy gets hard, the guy comes and then... You know, if you come, you're lucky. yeah. And then with women, it's just so different. And I think there's also this idea that women almost look after you in bed. Like, it had never happened to me before, sleeping with a woman, that someone would be like, are you lying comfortably on the bed? Do you want a pillow under your head? Or maybe do you want a pillow under your lower back? Aww. And I was just like, wow. You know, like,
damn,
it's not just about them coming. It's actually about how comfortable I feel because... And like, this person was a giver. So, you know, like, I met her on a dating app and we'd been, like, hanging out for a while. And then I had a free weekend and she had a free weekend too, so we spent like the whole weekend in bed pretty much. It was lovely.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
But it was just so good because there was no pressure. Even when I wanted to like go down on her and stuff, yeah, she was up for it, but she was more interested in like doing me, which Ooh. Is nice.
That sounds yeah. so good.
It was really good. But I think like, yeah, like the main thing was that, oh wow, like she's looking after me, like she's mm-hmm. kind, and this is something that maybe I should start expecting. Like it made yeah. me feel better about asking what I wanted, I mm-hmm. think. And I think for me, it was also a massive thing because I've always known that I was attracted to women. I think I fell in love with a girl when I was like 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I never, and I never made it into too big a deal because I was kind of like, I'm attracted to both. I don't need to like come out or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think like my dad was very worried about it because he thought that, you know, it wasn't something that I wanted. It was something that maybe had been imposed on me. Maybe someone had done something wrong to me, and that's why. Yeah, I mean, Italy can be very conservative sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think, like, when it happened, it was nice for me because I was like, I've actually, like, I am now officially bi because I've slept with a woman, but also it wasn't wrong. It wasn't sick. There was nothing wrong with it. It was really nice. It was an amazing experience.
And for all those years as well, you question yourself about being bi because you hear a lot of the times where people don't like people who are bi because it's like, well, you have to choose a side, or are you just saying bi to be cool?
Yeah.
And at least, you know, you can have a gay experience and go, you know what, all that time where I thought I was bi, I wasn't bullshitting. That was actually who I was.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, there's that idea in the bi community, like, but are you like 50-50? Are you like 20-80 or whatever? And I'm kind of like, I don't work like that. I fall for the person as opposed for, you know, what they've got between their legs. I know that I'm more attracted to women physically, but I know that I've also dated more men.
Yeah.
But it was like that was life changing for me because I realized so many things that I liked. And also, this is quite funny, my friends are gonna be so proud of me for saying this, but this is when I started masturbating, because up until the age of 21 I had never masturbated.
Wow.
And that was because I never felt the need to do it, because I had boyfriends readily available when I started getting horny, so like everything was done for me, and I didn't, and after that I was like, I don't think I need to. And then before I slept with this girl, when I knew that it was gonna happen, I was like, shit, she's got a vagina and I don't know how to use it.
And so like, I've got to learn my body so that I can please her.
Yeah, exactly. And that was really nice because that has helped me a lot, especially in the past few months.
Yeah, well, we always say that if you want to learn how to please someone else, you've got to get in touch with your own body first. Figure out what you like, and then you can kind of learn what other people like, because we are all human beings. We all like different things, but then there are loads of similar things too.
Exactly.
It does make sense though. If you've only ever had sexual and pleasurable experiences with other people, you almost feel like, well, why would I bother with that down there? You don't really want to break the status quo. Was it the first time you masturbated or the first time you orgasmed? You're like, why have I not been doing this the entire time?
Yeah, it was really funny because like, I was kind of like, oh, that's what they were talking about.
Pieces put together.
Because I have my friends like keeping me in check. Like every now and then I get a call, or like when we go for brunch, they're like, so how long has it been since you've had sex then? I was like, yeah, this much. And they were like, okay, so are you masturbating at this? And I'm like, yes. And they're like, good girl. Because like, they just know that it didn't used to happen before.
They sound like good friends.
They look out for you.
They're amazing. And then they're like, so it, like a few years back, they were like, so now you've been masturbating for a while, I think you need my vibrator.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really nice. I love them.
So it's friends who share. Care,
yeah, exactly. It's amazing. It's so cool. Sometimes, like, I remember once with a friend, we did a sex shop crawl because she was looking for stuff. And I was like, I think I'll buy a vibrator now.
Yeah. which first one did you get?
I was literally about to ask that. Like,
just
you get?
Like the
would
small ones, the bullets. Yes. I really like them.
That was my first one.
Because they're very easy to carry around when you're traveling.
Yeah.
Because I travel a lot, because now I'm doing a PhD, and when my students are on holiday and when my lecturers are on holiday, I just go back to Italy because it's nicer to spend the summer in Sardinia.
Oh, yeah.
But my parents, because my parents work for an airline, they've told me all these like horror stories of old ladies being spotted with like huge dildos.
I was going to say, like a little tiny vibrator. Yeah. You can be like, oh, sorry. But like you pull out this huge, giant thing.
I mean, now I feel that I'd be much more confident to pull out a giant thing and be like, I don't know, challenging them with like a sword. But like before I was
so
quite,
what? It's a rite of passage. I love being stuck with a vibrator in my bag. I always have a vibrator in my bag.
Have you been stuck before?
Yeah, but I don't think it was about the vibrator. I think it was just being stopped and like, oh, can we check in the bag? And I was like, well, yes, you can.
Hello.
And they're always like, oh my god,
I wish we hadn't done this.
What do we do? Yeah. No, I lap it up. I'm just like, yeah, and what, mate?
Yeah, it's so funny because like, people get so embarrassed. Like it happened the same to me when I was stopped at the at the check-ins or whatever, because they thought that I had like four guns.
And oh,
I was
my
like,
god,
four guns, who carries four guns?
Do they say this to you? You have four guns?
Yeah, they're like, you have four guns in their handbag.
What the hell?
I had two pairs of stripper shoes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Fuck.
And they're like this big, but they do look like guns. But I was like, how stupid do you think I am?
Yeah. Well, oh my God. Especially, I mean, I guess they can't really stereotype, but
yeah.
Like, imagine walking into a place, like one gun is hard enough to find, surely, but yeah. Four of them. For fuck's sake.
I'm going to say letters in this question because they have named people. This summer, I'm going on holiday with my friends. We're four people in total. R and R are a couple, whereas me and A are just friends. The point is, we are both single and 2 years ago, we almost fucked. So I was hoping maybe that we would act as a couple, or should I say exactly what I want. We'll be sleeping in the same bed. Do you have any advice? Do you get the question?
Yeah, so basically they fancy someone 2 years ago, they nearly fucked, and they're going on holiday together.
Yeah, with another couple. So they are...
They're blatantly gonna fuck.
I mean, they're sleeping in the same bed. Yeah, like, I am so hoping that they're gonna fuck. I'm gonna live vicariously through their life.
So basically she's asking whether she should be upfront about the fact that she wants to fuck this guy, I guess.
120%. I mean, I know and I feel it in the bottom of my pussy because that they're gonna fuck.
Yeah.
I hope so for them.
Oh, like, I hope so.
It would be lovely because, I mean, there is precedent. But that being said, I think it's easier to kind of go out one night and then, you know, see how it plays out and maybe kiss him, because it's easier to do it outside and like talk about it, and actually it's easier to like play around instead of talking about it, because if you actually just lay it out, it might be awkward. And if you're kind of like, I kind of wish that we fuck right now, it's always good to say it up front. But if you say it on the first day of the holiday and then he says no, then you have to sleep with him.
Ruin the whole holiday. Oh, yeah, that's a very good point.
That is a really good point.
Because it's we all want to be upfront about things, but it's very different with the whole male and female mindset. Women like to be upfront. They like it all dished out on the surface. Men don't want that. They don't. They want a chase, you know?
Yeah.
So if you do kind of tease it and you flirt and you make it exciting and sexy, and then follow his lead. So you might not, I mean, you know them better than we do. They might be quite shy. Maybe you feel like you have to make the first kiss for anything to go anywhere. But I would definitely be all flirty and fun and holiday-like. And if he does, or she follow through. I don't know if it was a guy or a girl in bed with.
It was a question from a girl, and it's about a guy.
Okay, cool.
Oh, it is from a guy, and he's talking about a girl.
Okay, cool. Ooh. New answer.
New ground. Then it might be different.
Yeah.
It might, because, I don't know. Like, I think sometimes women... Like, I think, again, like, the attitudes that women have in different situations have changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe she'd be, like, more... it could be that, like, if she's agreed to sleep in the same bed as him, it might be that, you know, she's probably keen. But, again, it's easier to kind of just see how it plays out. Mm. Consensually when
Also I wouldn't be afraid of like bringing it up in conversation.
Definitely not. Now the tables have turned.
I feel
like I wish it wasn't this way. I wish that men and women weren't so different, but we are, and this is what we have to try and figure out. But the fact if he is upfront about it and he's like, look, I would like this to happen, it's in your court, it's up to you, then she can choose and she will feel more comfortable about the situation.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think, you know, I have so many friends that were either my ex-boyfriends or someone I've slept with.
Yeah.
And there have been occasions in which we had to sleep in the same bed.
Mm-hmm.
And we would actually clarify that. We'd be like, I'd be keen to sleep together again. Or, you know, I know we've slept together in the past, but maybe it's better if it doesn't happen this time.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
And then,
so mature.
And then, it you know, when you sleep together, yes, you do feel a bit of tension, but you're not afraid of where things might go.
Yeah.
And I think it's nicer.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I've been thinking, like, you could... like have all these thoughts in your head and like, oh my God, I'm gonna have this like amazing sexy like holiday, and you'll get like really like hyped up about it.
Mm-hmm.
But and like part of that is really exciting.
Yeah.
And you can take that with you and have like a really exciting like potential time. But then also you might just be setting yourself up for like huge disappointment.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's really tricky because if you say like at the beginning, oh, like I kind of fancy you, like do you want to like maybe get together this holiday or whatever, and they're like, no.
Yeah.
Because you don't want that to be the thing that you remember when you go home.
Yeah.
That the person you wanted to have fun with didn't want to have fun back.
Yeah. Or you really wanted to have fun with them and you couldn't quite make yourself reach out and flirt or dive in for the kiss.
Yeah.
Take things as they come. Go easy. And I would definitely feel it out. I mean, you can tell if someone's into you. You can tell. I know it can be hard, but if they're flirting back, if they're being smiley, if maybe ask this person out for a drink separately. Be like, oh, I'd like to go out for dinner with you separately, or let's go for a drink. Or
that's a good
do you fancy
idea.
Going to the bar with me? I'm putting up my fingers like this, like imagining we're in some resort. Do you fancy coming and getting a drink with me alone? Have some alone time together and see where you stand.
Yeah, just hype up the flirting. See what happens, see what the response is.
Definitely, because I think like, I don't know, I feel like this thing that they almost slept together 2 years ago could be the elephant in the room, like oh, you know, do you remember that time where it nearly happened?
Yes. Address that. That would be good. See where they go with it. Be like, oh, it's a shame that never happened, or maybe like, thank god that didn't happen, and then at least you know where you go.
Exactly. I think it's the easy way of addressing that, because I've had many occasions where I almost slept with someone and then I was like, oh, thank God. So it's just like, I think actually having that question makes things clear.
Yeah, definitely.
But again, feeling it out depending on the person's vibe.
Yeah. Fucking hell. This week's sex story is... My boyfriend and I were both pretty drunk and I think we thought we were less drunk than we actually were. He was going down on me and he started incorporating my vibrator and was fingering me, and all of a sudden I can feel vibrations, but I can't figure out where it was coming from. Turns out he had gotten the bullet vibrator stuck very far up inside me.
Whoa.
This then became me lying on my back, legs spread, and my boyfriend clawing this vibrator out of me and telling me softly to stay calm.
Oh god. Clawing sounds awful.
Oh no.
That doesn't sound right.
Stay calm, I'll stay get it calm. Out.
He was probably panicking, like, but stay calm. So in that situation,
push.
It is true, you should stay calm, because the more you freak out, the more you tense up and the harder it is to get
the
out.
Muscles will just contract inside you.
Oh, I want to know if they managed to get it out or if she had to go to hospital.
Yeah, A&E. Oh.
Yeah, they didn't say.
Because, you know, like, I come from a very small town and there's always that story of a girl who got, like, a sausage stuck inside.
A sausage?
Or something like that.
Oh, you Italian never, sausage.
Yeah, you never know if it's
was
true.
Was it Nigella or something?
I don't know. You literally never know if it's true. But, like, there's always a story of someone that's been to the hospital because there was that stuck inside them. So I hope that she wasn't the girl.
I hope it's okay. I mean, if it's a bullet vibrator, they're really easy to come out.
Yeah.
Like, they're also quite thin. It's not like pushing out a menstrual cup. It's like,
no, I don't think you'd be. Maybe if you stood up and jumped, maybe if you were slippery, it could fall out. Or I mean, I could definitely push stuff out of my vagina. It does also depend on your pelvic floor as well and what kind of muscles you got going down there, because a lot of people don't know how.
Yeah, sometimes you can actually get a tampon stuck inside you.
Yeah,
bullets are similar shape to a tampon. So
yeah,
can you please do a video tutorial of how to push stuff out of your vagina? I think I would really like to know.
I will try. I mean, all I can think of is like, it's a front poo. Like,
okay.
You push, but through the front. You know when you're weeing and you hold it and you let go and you hold it? I've always been taught to do that wee exercises. It's almost a bit like that.
Mm.
It's a bit like your kegels.
Yeah.
But it is a definite different move. If I was going to push a moon cup out, then I would be like...
It's like you're having a baby.
Yeah, I'm trying to do it now. I'm like...
You see, you'd be an amazing pole dancer. So many moves are about pushing with your vagina.
Really?
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, you know when they do that really sexy, like, body rolling down the pole and then they go down on the floor?
Yeah.
That's, like, just your vagina that's, like, pushing
pulsating. You should do a pole dancing class and vlog it all.
Oh, my
you
God. Should. Please. Yeah, we definitely should. Like, do you want to be our teacher?
Yeah, I mean, I could. We can book, like, a studio hire or something.
Oh, my God. Should we do that?
That would be so cool. Yeah.
It would be amazing.
We should definitely do that and vlog it. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, everyone, it is time for us to fuck off.
Yes, we have to say fuck off to you and fuck off to us. And
thank you
fuck
so
off
much for coming on.
Thank
it's been
you.
So good.
Thank
You've
you
been
for
our first
me.
Pole dancer on the show.
Woo! Yay! So excited. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Amazing. Pop that cherry. How do people find you if they want to look you up?
Yes, so you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook under Blogger on Pole without the A. It's just Blogger on Pole, and then bloggeronpole.com for my blog and all my weird ramblings. And my book on Amazon is called Bad Tender, so bad/tender.
Ooh.
So yeah,
I mispronounced, like I missaid that right when I introduced you at the beginning of the podcast.
That's fine, everybody does, because maybe that's the name that I should have picked for myself. But
Blogger
that's too
on
late
April.
But that's too late now.
Blogger on Pole.
It's all right, don't
well
worry.
Guys, I hope you've enjoyed this wonderful podcast. Also, if you want to check out, go onto our Instagram, and where we posted a little picture of us, comment your pole dance song. We want to know.
Yes. Do that. That's a really good idea.
That's a real good idea.
That's a real good one, Reed.
But of course, also, like, rate us 5 stars, favorite it, download
subscribe.
It, subscribe, all that shit. And thanks for listening all the way to the end.
And if you have your own sex stories that you want to send us in, DM us on Instagram. DM us if you have a question, and we will answer them on our podcast.
Oh, yes, look at things. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Nice.
Root Insurance puts you in control. Root is a new type of car insurance that uses the sensors in your smartphone to look deeper than other insurers. Here's how it works. Download the Root app, hit the road, and we'll take care of the rest. The app measures your driving behavior, like turning and braking, and gives you a custom rate based primarily on your driving. The better you drive, the better your rate, meaning good drivers could save hundreds. Visit joinroot.com today to get started. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.